Welcome to the Mosh Pit, your home for unsigned punk, rock, and metal artists, where your music goes to be heard.
Wes Everett.
And AJ Green.
We've got an awesome guest with us today.
Hey, everybody. My name's Damian Goodwin. I'm a tattoo artist from Rome, Georgia. And I'm also a painter and excited to talk with everyone about some art today.
Yeah.
Some other things, too.
Awesome. So how you been, man? Been good?
Been doing pretty good. You know, it was just the holidays. So that's always a lot of extra stuff to do. But now everything's calmed back down and focusing on just doing bigger and better things and working on learning new things. My girlfriend Kinsey has started tattooing now.
Oh, cool. Congrats.
Yeah, so she's doing super good. That's exciting. And, you know, we have our shop open. I've been open since around September, and everything is going well with that, you know, considering with everything going on in the world. But how are y'all doing?
We're good. We are good.
Yeah.
Just, you know, trying to get by and get through this crazy time.
Yeah.
I think that's the best thing about the holidays is when they're over with.
Yeah, finally got to open the studio upstairs, done a couple classes, and that's been fun. I'm kind of hoping... I heard reverberation.
Yeah, that was just a little bit. We're good now.
Yeah, kind of hoping that the word gets out and more people come in and kind of check out the shop. But, like, it's almost like, how has everything affected your shop, you know, like, COVID-wise? Do you guys still do the whole mask while tatting and all that jazz? And
yeah, like, we're still doing that, you know, just kind of following what the health department says for us to do. In Georgia... at least for tattooing, you know, each county has their own health department rules, that vary. Like, so it's a little bit different everywhere, which is confusing.
Yeah.
But I do mainly everything that I do is appointment only. I typically try to book out like, a couple months in advance. That way I have time to like research the topic or, you know, draw for the piece. Really, the COVID situation hasn't bothered me personally or, like, how I work as far as the tattooing goes. We haven't really had the shop too publicly open, you know. Like, we do have, public art in the gallery up front available to look at. And I'm excited about when everything comes down, like, maybe doing, like, a grand opening so people can, you know, come check that out. And I'm sure that that's what you're... planning on doing too, you know, and then you're gonna have more people coming to your classes, so looking forward to that. Hopefully that happens, you know, soon. But yeah, like, my girlfriend has started tattooing. She's been learning for the past 2 years, really, which is crazy to think of. But we were just, you know, like, thinking about it, and she had actually tattooed herself a year ago in October, and she had been learning before then. So she's doing really, really good. I think that it's awesome that we both get to work together, and push each other. Like, it's cool to, like, go home and, like, we can sit down on the couch with our iPads, like, drawing up all these random ideas that come to mind while we watch, like, a show that we both like or something, you know? And, we've recently moved, to downtown, where we're super close to work. And that's awesome. Basically, you know, we have this great setup and we're ready to just start working hard and enjoying that setup and pushing ourselves and, you know, in the future, like, hopefully having like art shows, maybe art shows that are, just aimed towards painting and local artists. And then some art shows that are, a bunch of tattoo designs that we have drawn up with the prices already on them. Mm-hmm. And, you know, like, people can come in, they can put a deposit down on one of those pieces. It'll be like a one-off design where it's only tattooed that one time. And you can have like some live music and make it like a little event, you know, where people can mingle also, you know. And again, like, I'm just waiting for that to be something that I can do, you know.
Yeah, I was just talking to her about doing a like an original piece, because I was like, she posts a lot of, hey, I've got these mushies available, or, you know, I've got flowers available today, and I messaged her and I was like, So, do you tattoo them more than once? Because I kind of want, like, a Kinsey original. And, and she was like, oh, that's sweet. But I'm not holding any. I'm like, oh, it's fine. Sell it if you're going to sell it. I'm not here to block you. I'm just asking questions.
Yeah, so. Like, I think that she is trying to do, like, more, you know, one-offs. Like, when she first started tattooing, what we did is she would tattoo them on the practice skin. Like, and then... Now that she's actually tattooing on people, some of those designs she did on the practice skin, she's tattooing on people. So she's already done it once on the practice skin. She knows how it's going to be shaded. She knows where the light sources are and all of that. And so all she's doing is replicating that on a person. But I think both of us, we're going to try to, stick to doing like one-off designs. I think that that's important. That's a personal opinion. But the tattooers that I look up to and just tattooing in general over the past few thousand years, you know, it's been aimed a little more towards, you know, like this is drawn just for this person's body shape, you know? And I think that that's kind of important, especially if it's a larger tattoo. Some of the smaller ones, like it doesn't necessarily matter as much, but larger scale tattoos, they should be drawn for that person's shape because everyone's a different shape, different length, different size, maybe different curve. And so it's important to really like have in-person meeting with that person or pictures of that exact area. That way you could be like, hey, like this dragon doesn't fit this spot as much, but it does fit this spot, you know? Or hey, like maybe a butterfly would fit this spot a little bit better. And so that's something that I think people should take into consideration is like, how does this fit my shape? Versus, oh, I just like that design. I'm going to stick it right here, not put any thought into what it looks like from a third-person view, you know?
Right.
And so, yeah, like, that's what I'm aiming towards doing more, and I think Kinsey's aiming towards doing more is, like, we want to do custom pieces for people that are original, but also that fit the person's body, you know? And...
The Mosh Pit is still looking for unsigned and indie artists to submit music to be featured on the podcast. You can submit your music at themoshpit@stereosoundrecords.com. All submissions are welcome. You can also submit topic ideas if you want us to talk about a particular subject.
There isn't room for two of us.
I'm waiting here for never.
worked in walk-in shops in the past that were just very like, pick it up, you know, pick it out and stick it, let's do it. And you just do like 10 to 14 tattoos a day, and it's very draining. You know, you're setting up and breaking down for each one, you're drawing for each one. If you're doing 10 a day, that's a lot. Like, mm-hmm. it's a lot of interaction. It's a lot of, you know, stress. If one person, you know, wants it a little bit this way, a little bit this way, a little bit this way, and maybe, you know, like you and that person can't really find the best spot for it because it doesn't fit their body shape, you know? So that's why talking about it ahead of time, planning it out a little bit ahead, you're able to go over all of that stuff. And by the time you actually do the tattoo, it's always a way better experience, you know?
Right, right. So here's what I've been wanting to ask you. You paint, and then you also do tattooing. Mm-hmm. The substrate. How does skin differ from, say, sketching and painting on canvas and things like that? I mean, I know canvas has a little bounce. Mm-hmm. So that changes from sketching in a sketchbook or on an iPad. Like, what is the feel? Like, how does that differ? How's the feel different?
I would say, yeah, like, it's all different. All forms of art are different. And then you find out how to manipulate the thing that you're using to create that art to, you know, to make it do what you want to do. So, like, there is a difference, but also a similarity. I would say that, like, tattooing does have a little bit of a bounce off the skin, like a canvas. That's a good way to describe that. Mm-hmm. It's a little stretchier and movable than a canvas, you know, in all directions. So you have to learn how to just keep it stretched out. It's like doing art with Copic markers or doing art with a ballpoint pen. It's permanent. You can't, no erasing like a graphite sketch or like an oil painting or an acrylic painting where you can paint on top. Mm-hmm. You can't paint on top with a tattoo. You can't keep layering colors on top of other colors without it doing damage. You can do it just a certain amount, and then past that, you're going to start doing damage to the skin. So, it's similar to wood burning. Mm-hmm. In a sense, because with wood burning, you know, you hold it there too long and it starts damaging it, you know? Mm-hmm. But to painting, I guess all of the color theory that you would have for painting is like applicable to tattooing. And the way that all of the needles are shaped are very similar to like actual brushes. Like a round brush is like a round liner, and like a filbert brush is like a curved mag that has that rounded edge, you know, but it's still kind of flat. And, so that's one thing that makes it a little bit easier is if you have already painted, which I've like painted my whole life. My grandma was a painter, you know, I would be at her house at 3 years old painting stuff with her, and she was a really talented oil painter. And, so I've known these brushes for a long time, and they're all like a very similar shape. And so if you can use one brush to do an area this big and another brush to go like this, and then you use this liner brush to hit the lines at the end, it's very transferable after you figure out how the tattoo machine has to be held, you know, how deep to go, all of those things.
So like when you're tattooing, is the ink, like, you know, watercolor is transparent.
Yeah.
Therefore, you can layer blue on top of red and get purple, mm-hmm. and different shades of, you know. So is tattoo ink transparent, or is it more opaque because it's going in the skin?
I would say it's definitely more opaque. The transparency of it, I guess, would depend on if you add water to the ink, which you do for like black and gray work. Typically, you're not really using gray. You're using black mixed with water, which makes that black transparent.
Right.
You know? So, really, yeah, like, with color, there are people that do mix water in with the ink and then kind of, like, fade it out to do, like, watercolor-style tattoos and stuff like that. The problem with that is it ages really poorly because there's less pigment in your skin. Mm-hmm. The sun, when it lightens that pigment over time, it definitely disappears way faster, you know? So, like, if I do a watercolor tattoo, I use straight pigment. And then if I do like brush strokes or something like that, I'm doing that with straight pigment and making streaks and making little smudges with the straight pigment and not mixed with water. and it still looks good in my opinion, and it lasts way longer. And then the people that do mix it with water and are doing like super fancy stuff, like I have seen a lot of those, and they like 3 years in, like it's noticeable that it needs a touch up, you know?
Right.
And those are things that you just learn. Like a lot of those people that are still mixing water with the color to achieve that, like they just haven't done it for a long time, or they haven't seen it 10 years later, you know? Mm-hmm. And yeah, like with any job, what I suggest doing is taking seminars. Like I feel like there's so many people that are just like, okay, I know this. I know it and I'm good to go. Like take seminars from all kinds of people. Like, and that's how I've learned the longevity of some tattoos is I'll take a seminar from someone who's been tattooing 25, 30 years. And they're like, hey, like y'all don't know this yet, but let me enlighten you with what a tattoo looks like at 20 years. Cause I've done this, you know, that long. And so like doing, you know, doing seminars and learning from people who have been, doing your craft longer than you is super important. And I think being open-minded about the fact that they are going to know things more than you probably, is a good way to learn, you know, and, maybe they don't know more than you, but you should be open-minded enough to be like, hey, like I'm going to listen to this person with all of my focus because they've been doing it longer and they're still successful, you know?
Yeah. And in the same respect, just having a educational conversation with somebody, and that's not saying an argument or just like, hey, so I'm in the same business as you. Let's talk, ink brands. Mm-hmm. Well, this brand I've seen does this and this brand I've seen does that. Just because you're new to the business and you're talking to a guy who's been in the business for a while, him having that conversation with you teaches you and him quite a bit.
Yeah.
You know, just bouncing ideas and opinions off of each other. We still do that at the hair salon every single day.
Mm-hmm.
Just the other day, I was telling one of our apprentices about color theory. And we were telling, you know, her, you know, if you want to see what it looks like, it's on the hair, rub it on your hand. It's going to stay in your hand, but it washes off.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and it was just, you know, little things, little tips and tricks that's going to make that person a better stylist or tattooist in the long run.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, and like even people that have been in the business way less than you that are younger, up and coming 18, 19, 20 year olds, like still be open-minded to listen to them because hey, like they are on the internet all the time and all kinds of information's on the internet. Yeah. Like you can learn something from somebody about social media, about just what's new, what's in style, anything like that. Mm-hmm. If you keep an open mind and you're not like, oh, this next generation sucks. Like, well, hey, they might have something that's also like constructive for you to use if you have an open mind towards listening, you know?
Well, so. I mean, sometimes it takes a different mind to think of innovative ideas.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So, I mean, you've been drawn that diamond the same way for 30 years, but then this guy comes and he's like, well, hey, if we draw this diamond and we add this pigment to it, it's going to really look like it's popping off the skin.
Mm-hmm.
It takes a different mind to have a different look.
Yeah, yeah.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying is like just bouncing ideas and talking or saying, like as a newbie, I would walk up to a colorist and I'd say, hey, can I do this color and this color together to get this color? Because in my mind it works. And they'd tell me why it doesn't work.
Mm-hmm.
Or they would tell me, yeah, let's try it. You know, like, it's all helpful. It's all relative, but it's all helpful.
Yeah. Yeah, and just, you know, I have a few people that I've looked up to, like, in the tattoo world where I'm like, oh, like, what are they doing to where they're still successful and they're still, you know, at the top, and it's that they're keeping up with all of the newer generations' stuff. They're getting the new equipment, they're getting an iPad and drawing, and they're not being stubborn about it instead of being closed-minded and like, oh, well, I'm going to do this exactly how we've been doing it. They're adapting towards what everyone else is able to use, which actually helps you in the long run, you know? And yeah, like, looking at that like from an outside view, you're like, okay, I should be like this in the future, not like mm-hmm. this. Like,
right.
You know, you see that. And definitely still learning stuff. Like I said, Kinsey has been tattooing recently now at the shop, and even from her, like, she wrapped her station slightly different than how I wrapped mine. And honestly, it was a tiny bit easier to clean up, and I was like, dang, like, you just taught me that. Like, you know, you saved me, like, the small amount of time, but in the long run, over the next 20 years, how much time will that be? That'll be a lot of time. You know?
So. Right. So do you, when, you know, I don't want to say when COVID clears up or, you know, because it's a virus. It's never going to go away.
Yeah.
But when things do kind of mellow out and things kind of go back to what we hope is normal, are you going to open your shop to walk-in business and have the, I mean, because as the artist in me, I'm like, oh, yeah, one-offs and, you know, individual originals on people. No, that just sings to me. But as a business owner, I'm like, he would be crazy not to have those generic, you know, pick here. You know, that's where you're going to make your money on your slow days.
I disagree. Like, I think that you don't make really any money off of those, you know? That's my personal opinion. I think that the crowd that you attract with those is a crowd that wants something done that day, quick, fast. They don't, it really comes down to those people don't want a piece of your art, really. They want
a tattoo.
And I've worked in those shops, and that's cool. Originally, when I opened this place, it was just a private studio. It just so happened that the only building that was available was an awesome building that was bigger, you know? Yeah. But, like, ultimately, yeah, it was like a private studio, and that's what a ton of tattooers do. I've been tattooed by a lot of those tattooers, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Some of them are booked for 2 years with people flying from out of the country to come see them, and they're making $1,200 a day. Like, you know, like they don't have to have any, you know, walk-in availability or anything like that. And so originally, yeah, it's just going to be a more private studio for me and Kinsey. And we have another whole room open for another artist or two to tattoo and have their own clientele. And then the whole front is like a gallery that eventually I do plan on having, you know, public. I do plan on having a front counter person so people can come in, they can interact. And so they can come in and see the tattooing being done. In that tattooing waiting area, I have the big TV. It's going to be able to stream the tattoo from the tattoo area to that room. So people don't have to, if people are coming by to like check out, oh, what's getting tattooed today? They can go in there, they can see what's being tattooed without being in the actual procedure room.
That's cool.
But I do have plan on having a front person. I don't, since I opened during the whole COVID thing, I don't want to hire a front person and then us be shut down and like, hey, like, I know I just hired you, but you don't have an income again, like, instantly.
Right.
Like, you know, but yeah, like, I don't think that it'll ever be available to be a walk-in shop, you know, like, I make a presence on social media and the internet and at conventions all the time on purpose to attract the people that want my art, you know, and enough of those people come in to where I would never be available for, you know, walk-in stuff. And if I'm available to tattoo that day because of a cancellation, you know, I have a list of people that are trying to get sleeves finished or a tattoo finished that we've started, or just friends that are like, hey, man, like, I don't ever know my schedule, so I can't make an appointment with you, but keep me in mind if you ever get a cancellation. So I hit those people up first. I have a little list of those people, and I can always fill one of those spots. And, you know, as I mentioned before, I'm a painter, you know, and I love to paint.
Mm-hmm.
I've painted my whole life. I've sold paintings since I was 15. Like, I've always hustled the art world, like, for sure, you know? And I don't get as much time to paint as I would like. So really, I'm busy with tattooing enough to where if I do get a cancellation or something like that, I also lean towards, like, hey, I can have a second to paint, you know? Yeah. And I'll sell paintings, like, once a month still, at least, you know, like, around Christmas, it was two or three in small, you know, like little commissions. Sometimes every once in a while, it'll be a bigger painting. But I think that, I truly think that you can do whatever you want to do in life, and you can make money doing whatever you want to do if you really want to do it. And it sounds cliche and like Disney or something, but like, you really can.
Oh,
and
yeah.
So if I want to not do as much of a walk-in thing and sell paintings and have people come to me for my art, like, it will happen if I truly want it and if I truly put all of my energy into that happening.
Yeah, more of a specialty type thing.
And you get more opportunities when you put that energy out there. Mm-hmm. Like, if I put that energy out there, I wake up one day and somebody randomly emails, like, hey, I want a painting from my bedroom, and I just so happen to hear your name, you know?
Yeah.
Having that exclusiveness, like, where it's like, hey, you actually have to make an appointment for this. It could be a little damaging at first for a couple years. But after you get past that and enough people see that you're really doing what you love and doing good work, it'll eventually get to where it's the opposite of that. It's like, oh, hey, like, you actually have to make an appointment with this guy. So more people are hitting you up because they're like, hey, like, this is who I have to go to because, you know, it's harder to go to them.
Yeah, I truly believe that. As a stylist in Marietta, I've been doing it for 13 years in the same spot.
Mm-hmm.
And now I'm basically by appointment only. And
yeah, 13 years is a long... That's longer than I've been in the same spot. Yeah. So I can imagine it's like a long...
Yeah, so like people... This is... I've been trying to explain this to my boss because my boss has always been primarily walk-in. Get it done, get it done fast, get it out.
Mm-hmm.
And she doesn't understand the whole, you know, like I'm a children's hairstylist. So when I sit there and I talk to the little geeky guy about Star Wars and Grogu and the things that interest him, and then I turn around and I talk to the beefy guy about, you know, hey, how was last night's game? You know, did you score a touchdown? Did you run? Did you do, you know, why did you break your leg? You know, like, these little things where you get to know your customers, you become exclusive because that kid comes to you forever.
Oh, yeah.
Or that person who... like becomes like, oh, I like this guy. He's light-handed. He has, you know, a soft touch. He tattoos me. It doesn't hurt me. It stays. I have a long longevity in the artwork on my body.
Mm-hmm.
You know, people are going to come back to that every time. And I do believe that the exclusivity does kind of like, it perks people's ears. Like,
mm-hmm.
oh, if he's exclusive to appointments only, then he must be good.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm going to pay the money for that talent.
Yeah, and, you know, I definitely am a person that, like, I don't tattoo for, like, I don't care about money
right.
at all. I care about being happy. I have cared about money, and I have been, like, 10 tattoos a day, 14 tattoos a day, work 7 days a week for a little while, okay, drive up to North Carolina and work outside the Army base tattooing, like, 14-hour days, make all this money, you know, like, and I got to a point where I was just bummed out, you know,
mm-hmm.
like, why am I bummed out? It's like, oh, because I'm not expressing my creativity anymore, you know, and so to me,
mm-hmm.
the mental health and the health in my happiness within my life outweighs making, you know, making more money, but in saying that, like I said, that happens just for a little bit, eventually, you end up making more money doing it that way. You just have to, you know, you have to start that path. You have to keep your mind on the fact that it's all going to work out for you. And it will. It will. You just have to keep the positive attitude, keep affirming to yourself, like, hey, this is what's going to happen. And, you know, putting yourself out there, doing stuff, doing a radio show or going to a local art event, doing what y'all did, you know, coming into the shop and being like, hey, what's up, you know, introducing yourself, like, that, who would you rather get some art done by, somebody who you've seen at art shows and participating in events in the town constantly, or somebody who is in the back and just like, what do you want, like, hurry up, like, I don't care, like, you know,
right,
yeah, so, and yeah, building those relationships and people finally understanding, like, who you are as a person and stuff, they want to hang out with you more, they want to support you more. And then whenever they want to support you more, they don't care if, like, oh, like, I have to book it a little far ahead. Like, I am going to get something, you know, that this person wants to do and I want to get, you
mm-hmm.
know. And that's another thing with tattooing, too, and why, you know, like, I'm not saying walk-ins are horrible or anything. But another negative aspect is, you know, like, everyone is good at their own style or a different style. You know, like maybe this person's a great, in any type of art, like maybe this person's a great oil painter, but not the best watercolor painter. There are people that are good at like a lot of styles, but when it's a walk-in thing and you're just basically going in and you're like, hey, like I want this, and it could not be that person's style. And if that person, say that person doesn't have any money at all at the time, like, and they're desperate and they just do it, you know, like, and that happens a lot too. Like, so then they're doing something that they're uncomfortable with, that they don't think they're going to do a good job on because they know that they don't do that style well, but they have to make that money. And then the person gets a tattoo that they end up not liking because that person really didn't, you know, want to do it. And it, when you avoid that, you end up eventually having nothing but clients that are happy with their stuff because you're not doing something that you're uncomfortable with.
Right.
You know, if you're doing nothing but stuff that you're comfortable with, then all the majority of your clients are going to come back like, man, I love this. Like, I absolutely love it. Why? Because I love it too, you know? And so,
yeah,
that's what I think.
Would you help me find a new way? Would you guide me through all of this again? Don't let me slip away. I need you here till the very end. So stay here with me. There's so much love in your smile when I look at your face, and I'm here to stay. You're my first and my last love, and you're my escape.
Fulfilling that passion, which is going to give you inner happiness, you know,
right.
And that happiness within your life makes everything in your life a domino effect into more happiness, you know.
Exactly. So what's been your most creative or really most challenging tattoo that you've done?
Oh, man. Well, I've definitely done some challenging ones. Two that come to mind is, you know, two of my friends, both at different conventions, different years, I've done 3-day back pieces on.
Oh, wow.
So that was super challenging, exhausting, like, you know, like one day's 10 hours, the next day's 9 hours, the next day's like 7 or 8 hours, like, and those were super challenging. Ben Coleman and Donnie Blackman, those are the two people. Ben, I did his in Biloxi, Mississippi at a convention. And then Donnie was in Asheville, North Carolina. And that was the first time I've been there. It's a really cool, like, hippie town, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, right now, the current one is that Sith back piece that I was telling you about that I just started on this guy. He's getting, yeah, like 4 different, like, Sith, you know, Sith lords, and then, like, some Force lightning. And yeah, that's a really challenging one that I'm enjoying right now. Really though, yeah, like, I just like to do stuff that I'm into. I did work in, you know, walk-in shops for a long time, so I can do a lot of styles. It's not like I'm really strict on this stuff. I just don't do things that are, in my opinion, that I've had negative, not reactions, but, like, negative experiences with, you know, like, tattooing names on people that are not your children. Like, if it's your child, like, you're probably never gonna regret that, you know?
Right.
If you're married, I'm not gonna do your names. If y'all are engaged, I'm not gonna do your names. If it's a boyfriend, I'm not gonna do your names. Like, it's always a bad idea. I have done it. I have seen it get covered up constantly. Mm-hmm. Constantly. Uh-huh. And, yeah, that's just not something I'm doing anymore, you know? Like, I'm not...
I never understood the need to put that permanently on your body. Like, yeah. I'm sorry. I love you, babe, but I'm not tattooing your name on my body ever.
It ends up creating so much more, like, issues in the relationship, too, because then it's like, oh, I claim this person. Like, this person's mine. Mm-hmm. You know, this person's mine. Like, look. That's my property.
Well, now and you can't break up with me because your name's on my body.
And it's right. And it stems so many issues from it. Mm-hmm. It's honestly like, it's like a, not a death wish, but it's like a unlucky, like, talisman that you forever have to wear, like, you know?
Yeah, I feel like that's along the same lines of if you propose to one girl and she's, you know, y'all don't make it, and you use that same ring to propose to another one, it's like, no.
Yeah,
bad taste. Bad taste.
Bad juju, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, that's no. I don't have any tattoos, so I'm on the record on that one. I have no tattoos just because I haven't found really what I want.
Mm-hmm.
So I found one that I really liked and it was really cool, but just didn't pull the trigger on it.
Yeah, when I was younger, I was definitely not ever thinking about getting a tattoo. I was just like, absolutely not. Like, that hurts. Like, I don't think I want to do that. Like, what would I get? In fact, if you talk to anybody I went to school with, probably they would be like, well, now, you know, they know me, but in middle school and in high school, you know, they'd be like, what? Like, Damien be a tattoo artist? Like, definitely not. Absolutely not. And something just changed where, you know, I ended up getting one, and because of the pain and accomplishing it, I mean, it's just like accomplishing anything, like climbing a mountain or... you know, going surfing for the first time or, you know, something like that. Like, once you get done with it, you're like, wow, that hurt. And I sat through it and I have this and I accomplished it, you know, like, so that's what I think makes it kind of addicting. And also, it's a investment that lasts much longer than most investments, you know, like you carry it around with you. It lasts the rest of your life. That's why I think it's so important to care about who you're getting tattooed by, care about how much you're spending on it, care about the actual art. It's there forever. Mm-hmm. You might as well get it done by somebody who's going to make it look good forever, you know? It's a way to decorate your temple, you know, like, the more tattoos that I got, the more I was like, yes, like, this is what I want to do for sure. It just, it seems like it's a timeless thing that will never go away. You know, like humans have been doing it since the dawn of time. You know, we find frozen cavemen that have tattoos now, you know, so there's one, Utzi the Iceman. It's like U-T-Z-I. And he had like 17 tattoos or something, you know, and they found him like frozen in the ice. So
yeah, that's epic.
That's awesome.
So you're talking about pain. It's funny because it tickles. It doesn't hurt me. It tickles. Mm-hmm. I giggle through the whole thing.
Mm-hmm.
And my tattoo artist always like, he's like, oh Lord, here we go. Where are you getting it done this time? And like, he'll be like, you're gonna laugh, because like, everybody's like, oh, that place of your body hurts the worst. And I'm like, well, I'm gonna get a tattoo there.
Mm-hmm.
And then like, while they're doing it, I'm like, I don't even feel it. And then it'll hit like a spot, and I crack up. And it's funny how different people have different pain tolerances.
Oh yeah, different pain tolerances, different, your nerve endings end in different places, like they grow like a web throughout your body, so everybody has a nerve ending that's in a slightly different place, you know. I think it hurts. I think women sit way better for tattoos, typically. But I personally think that it hurts, you know, like the arms not so much, the legs not so much, but definitely like the back, the chest, the ribs, like the feet, all of those places, they hurt. I do think when you're tattooing yourself, it hurts a little bit less.
Because you're not pressing hard.
Well, I don't think it's that. I think you still need to press the same hardness to achieve, you know, the ink sticking, you know. But, like, really, I think it's that you're concentrating. And so a lot of pain is in your mind. And to prove that, when you tattoo yourself, you don't feel it really. And it's because you're concentrating on making this line straight, holding this machine still, going the right depth. Yeah. That you can't think about the pain, you know?
Makes sense.
And yeah, like, pain is definitely very much in your mind. That's why there's, like, people that can walk on fire and stuff, you know? Like, they've just achieved, you know, just a super clear head. And yeah, like, I think when people are in pain, if you can calm them down, if you could get them to control their breathing and focus on their breath or focus on some music, huge difference of how much pain they can handle, you know? Yeah.
I agree. Because, like, the one on the back bottom of my neck, didn't even feel it. Didn't laugh, didn't feel it, didn't, you know, and it was, like, done in 15 minutes, but I was just like, eh, all right, so that's done.
I hated the back of my neck. Like, I had my whole entire back done completely, and the back of the neck. I was like, I wanted to shrug like this, and I kept having to like keep my shoulders down. I was like,
And you'd think you'd be used to like the vibration and everything, because you get your hair cut.
Yeah. I don't get my hair cut.
Well, yeah, but like,
my girlfriend's grandma cuts my hair once a year, and that's it. I just keep it like it is.
Yeah.
Tie it up.
So what type of music do you guys normally rock out to when you're tattooing? Is it more like what the client wants, or is it more like what you want?
I try to base it a little more off of what the client wants. Yeah, I like rock and roll, but also, like, I tattoo, and so does Kinsey, a lot of very spiritual people, you know? Like, people that are not really into TV or mainstream stuff, and so for those people, I'll try to play some calming, chill, instrumental type music. I kind of just aim it towards what the person is into, and I'll ask them. I have a big following of nerds because I'm a nerd myself, and so I'll tattoo some anime stuff, and typically when I do those, I try to play whatever anime I'm tattooing, you know, it just makes sense, like, why not? I got most of the streaming services available, so if it's, you know, Yu-Gi-Oh, I'll put Yu-Gi-Oh on. If it's Pokemon, I'll put Pokemon on. If it's Berserk, I'll put that on. You know, like, I've done a bunch of different animes and try to set the mood. Like, I think it helps. I think the person's like, oh, that's cool. Like, and once you have, like, a little more of a niche like that, like, dude, I just got tattooed by this guy. And I just got this Dragon Ball Z tattoo, and he had it playing, like, at his studio. And it was just an amazing experience. You have to go get tattooed by him, you know?
Right.
And yeah. And typically the nerdy type people are better with the internet. And I try to make my presence a little more on the internet. So, you know, they find me out on the internet. they want to plan it out a little bit more. And so those are usually pretty good clients. Like, they're willing to get the art that you want to do and spend, you know, the money it's needed. And typically don't have to ask a lot of the questions because they've already found your online presence and read everything. And they've probably already been on a forum and read, like, how to book an appointment, how to get a you know, all of that stuff too. So I just noticed that typically those people don't have as many questions. They know kind of a little more what they want. Yeah. And I don't mind if anybody has a question. And I think once I have it open with a front counter person, they'll be able to answer questions of how to book and how to do all this. Because during this whole COVID thing, I have done all of my appointments over my website. I know that, like, it's probably been confusing for a lot of people that aren't used to that. And I would like to accommodate them too, but I'm just waiting for the right moment for that front person. And then, you know, if I ever do get another person in the shop, I plan on them being someone who has a clientele too. That way, yeah, I don't want to be responsible for someone else's income as far as if it's a walk-in artist. I want to make sure that they're eating. I want to make sure that they're busy. Because I've worked in places that they don't, like.
Right.
It's just like, oh, show up. Just make sure you're here. If nobody comes in, like, go home. Like, you know, like, after you sit here all day and not do anything. And I don't think that's fair. You know, you're working free days, you know, like, so.
Well, I mean, on the flip side, too, in this world, in this future, I guess you would say, in this reality or present, you have to, like you said and reiterated, you have to have a presence online. You have to have a know-how of how to say, you know, go on the forums and say, hey, I can do that tattoo. Hey, I can do that. Hey, but if, so I feel like, and this is just coming from being a stylist in a walk-in business, I feel like, you know, I've been there for 13 years. I've built my clientele. I stay busy every single day, 20, 30, 40 haircuts a day. Mm. And I've got girls that are sitting on their butts, and they're like, well, why don't we get appointments like Amanda? Well, honey, I went and danced on the side of the road. Mm-hmm. I went and handed out coupons because there was no Facebook when I started. Mm-hmm. I hung, my boss drove down the road, and I hung out of her window and papered mailboxes to advertise myself. Mm-hmm. You have to advertise yourself. So the same argument of, yeah, I don't want to own a shop where people don't make their own money, the same argument is, that person needs to also have a presence like you do. Mm-hmm. You should
make posts, you know?
Hold that person up to, hey, you need to advertise yourself. Yeah, hey, like, you need to be out there. Put yourself out there.
Making posts, like, there's artists that I know that end up not having as much going on, but you look and, like, they post once every 6 months. Like, yeah. if somebody doesn't see that you're doing stuff, why would they think that you do it? You know, like, they need to see, oh, like, this person's posting a tattoo 4 times a week, like, they must be doing tattoos,
right?
You know, but if they're posting it once every 6 months, it's like, oh, do they still tattoo? I wonder if they, where are they at? Like, you know, there's all these questions like, oh, well, I'll just skip this person because I don't even know if they still do this. Like, I'm going to go to the person that's posting all the time, you know?
Yeah. Right.
And that's like that's a very simple thing that you could do that is guaranteed to change your client intake. Yeah.
Right. So if you do get to the point where you hire another person, that should be part of the thing is like, hey, are you advertising yourself? I know you already have a clientele, but are you still advertising for new clientele?
Oh, yeah.
Because you've got to bring people into my shop, man. I mean, I'm here to help you, but you need to also help me.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah, and definitely whoever works around me needs to be inspired. Because I'm trying to shoot out a bunch of inspiration and, like, be ready for that. You know, if you are bummed out and you don't want to be inspired, I don't suggest it. Because I'm going to be shooting out ideas and like, hey, like, these are new things we could do. Like, new challenges. Like, let's do some collaborations. Let's go to some conventions. Let's travel. Let's put our name out there. All of that kind of stuff. That's what I already do. That's what I plan on doing more of. And, you know, like, again, like, if it's a walk-in shop from the beginning, you can't really do those travel dates. You can't really do conventions like that. Like, you have to have somebody at the shop to stay open since you have a reputation of being a walk-in shop. If you have a reputation of being appointment only, you can go do conventions and stuff at any time because you just don't book appointments for that day, you know? Yeah. And And literally whatever way you go about it, as long as you go about it and you focus on that and you give all of your life towards that, like, it will be successful. It will. Like, that's more of the secret, at least in my experience, than other things, you know?
It's so funny that you said that because, like, literally I just had an argument with my mom about here being open and everything. And she's like, she was saying, you know, how are people going to walk in and see the art? How are people? And I said, Mom, I've advertised as appointment only since day one. I've never pretended not to be appointment only. I'm going to be appointment only. And she goes, why? And I go, because when Wes wants to go to Nashville to meet a band, I can go. When I have the opportunity to go to an art class for a week, I can go. Because I'm appointment only, I can just not schedule for that day. You know, like, it almost gives you a little more freedom to live a life and still do what you love.
Yeah, which is important too. And that falls into the category of mental health that I was talking about before. Like, you can, you know, work all the time and think that that's what is going to bring you happiness is the money that follows. Or you can do what you want to do with your life while still... Like, and it doesn't mean you're being mean. Some people take that as like, oh, this person's like, you know? You could still be unbelievably nice to your clients, give them the best experiences they could ever have, and do all of this, and then you're going to be, like I said, a mentally happier person. And once you're a mentally happier person, people are attracted to that. They want to be around you because you're happy. And the world is sad, you know, like, oh, this person's happy with their life. They're smiling. They're bringing, you know, this positive energy to the whole experience while I'm there. Like, I want to go back. And yeah, you're right. Like, then you get to have a personal life, which is super important. Yeah, there's a lot of tattooers that work 70-hour weeks and barely eat. And throw their backs out. I've been one. It sucks. Like, I don't want to do that anymore. I want to just be a happy human, you know?
Agreed.
Yeah. Absolutely. Yeah. Well, man, I appreciate you coming in, hanging out with us.
Yeah, no, this was awesome. Like, super awesome. I would love to, like, mention it to a few of my friends, like, one or two artists, and I do know, like, a kind of local-ish rock band, you know, maybe that would be something that you're interested in, too, because I think that this is awesome. I think what y'all have set up is awesome. I'm excited for you. I can't wait to see more of what you got going on, and, like, maybe in the future we could, like, collab on something. That would be great. Like,
100%.
I would love to just, and you do a style that I know nothing about, so that excites me to, you know, learn more about it, but also, like, maybe do a collaboration and yeah, like, maybe even do, like, some future art shows or something like that.
Oh, yeah. So, cool. Yeah, totally.
So we got the art shows, we got the tattoos, and we got the music.
Yeah,
so,
and the music, yeah.
Is there anything you want to promote at the end of the show, like, that you would like to tell people
about?
Yeah,
like, yeah, I would love to promote, you know, my shop, which is Prana Art Collective. Like I said, right now it's appointment only. You could reach us at pranaartcollective.com or my personal website, where I do, you know, most of my bookings. If you go to Prana, it still redirects you to here, and that's damiandesign.com, and it's D-A-E-M-I-O-N, design, all one word, .com. And it makes it really easy. It has, like, you know, what tattoo you're looking to get, attach a picture if you have an example picture. If not, attach a picture of that area so I can see if it's going to fit the area. Preference days on what days, you know, you might have off versus not off. And then, like, small descriptions that, you know, I ask that way to find out a little more about their tattoo. So that's on there. Kinsey is taking appointments now, and she does, like, a lot of plants, a lot of animals, like, this really cool illustrative style, and she can be reached at pranaartcollective.com or to our email, which is pranaartcollective@gmail.com. But yeah, like, as things die down a little bit, hopefully things change a little bit with the COVID situation. I'm going to hire a front person, and we're going to have the art gallery open, you know, like 6 days a week, 7 days a week. As of right now, I'm there every day except for Monday. The door is probably locked if I'm working on a client, but I totally don't mind letting anyone in. So there is a doorbell. You can ring the doorbell. There's a sign that says ring. And I keep the open sign on so you can tell if I'm there or not. And so I can let you in. You can walk around and look at the local artist's artwork. And that's just how I'm doing it for now. And eventually, yeah, that'll change.
Sweet.
Cool, man. Well, I appreciate this.
Yeah, thank you. Yeah, it was cool. And yeah, like, are you...
Yeah.